How many of you have ever heard the expression that I've accepted Jesus as my Savior, but not my Lord? Have you ever heard that before? Raise your hand, okay? Now, if you have, I have too. There may not be a more heretical statement ever made in the Church of Jesus Christ in the last 200, 300 years. Before 200-300 years ago, that statement, accepting Jesus as your Savior and not your Lord, would have been absolutely beyond anybody's thinking. Jesus didn't come to you if you know Jesus. He didn't come to me and say, I'm now your Savior. I'll come back later and I'll be your Lord. When we truly accept Jesus, He comes as both Savior and Lord. That's who He is. He is the Lord Jesus Christ, is He not? Now, we get it. I understand that not everybody understands all of the ramifications of what it means to have Jesus as your Lord the moment you trust Him as your Savior. But baptism, which is normally occurs right after or soon after salvation, as was the case with Matt and with Terry, not so much with Emily, but it's an outward show of the lordship of Jesus over one's life. We've been doing this series we call the mandate we referred to earlier, Matthew chapter 28. Go make disciples. That's the mandate. It's unfolded by baptizing people and teaching people. The message of that mandate is that Christ died for our sins, 1 Corinthians 15, that He was buried and that He rose again. That's the message you have to embrace. Jesus died for me personally, was buried for me, rose again for me. I must believe that. I must embrace that with all my heart. That's the message of the mandate. The motivations, actually plural, and there are many. And I didn't exhaust them, but we focused on 2 Corinthians 5, and we talked about motivations for getting this mandate out, telling people about Jesus. Well, one is just having this big picture of God, this healthy fear of God, having this transparent life that's unafraid to reveal yourself to others and to make yourself real. And the love of Jesus is ultimately what motivates us, what prods us on to tell others about Him. And then last week we talked about the miracle. What happens when a person places their faith in Jesus? What will happen to some of you if you truly trust Jesus as your Savior? Well, it's a miracle. If anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. You lose your past and you get a future. It's a good deal. And now I want to talk to you this morning just very, very briefly about the master of this mandate. Many of you already know the verses. Romans chapter 10 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is what? Say it. Jesus is Lord. And believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead. Then you'll be saved. For with the heart a person believes unto righteousness. With the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And so the miracle is the greatest thing. When you're truly saved, you're born again. You're a new creation. You're a child of God. You're forgiven. You're redeemed. You're set free. You're adopted. You're justified. You're washed. You're sanctified. You are declared righteous. Your unrighteousness taken away. Christ's righteousness given to you. You are accepted in the Beloved. You are in Christ. You are saved. And He is the mighty one to save you. And as you are saved, you don't just trust Jesus as your Savior. You trust Him as the Master, the Lord of your life. Some of you have heard the story that I've shared in my own life, but perhaps not the addendum. You've heard the story a couple weeks after I trusted Jesus. I was reading my Bible and smoking a bowl of dope, and these two things weren't going together. And God showed me 1 Corinthians 6:19, where it says, what, don't you know your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who's in you? You're not your own. You've been bought with a price, so glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And it was on that scripture basis that God removed that area of my life. But the truth of the matter is this, and I want you to listen very carefully to what I'm about to say. That night and that encounter I had with God a couple weeks after I came to know him went a lot deeper than the marijuana I was smoking. A lot deeper. That night I began to realize and accept the claim that God had on me as his child. It actually had started a couple of days earlier, where at John Deere, where I'd worked for 4 years, and I smoked reefer every single day in different places. I knew every nook and cranny of that place, never came close to getting caught. But a couple of days earlier, I got caught smoking dope. I can remember almost getting fired. I didn't, because that wasn't God's intent. What I remember was being absolutely startled by the whole thing. Not so much that I nearly lost my job, but because for the first time since trusting Jesus, I knew that God was behind the whole thing. I knew he was behind the whole thing. There is a little line in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and I want you to see it there where it says, "You are not your own." Do you see that there? You are not your own. You've been bought with a price. You are not your own. You don't have to say this to anybody else. Just say it to yourself in your mind if you know Jesus. I am not my own. Just go ahead and say that to yourself right now. Do you really believe that? As I thought about this, I thought of there's a story in the Old Testament, Daniel, the great Daniel, Daniel in the lion's den, Daniel. In that same era, Daniel, an older man now, probably upper 70s, maybe even 80. He's not present in this banquet, but Belshazzar, the king, brings in all of his wives and concubines and all of his friends, and he has a drunken party. And he calls for all of the vessels, all of the gold vessels that his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken from Jerusalem when the Babylonians defeated the Jews and took all of the articles of the temple to Babylon. And here they are using these golden goblets and drinking their wine and getting drunk, using God's stuff. And it was in the middle of that that he looked up, his legs knocking together literally. He sees a finger into the plaster of the wall and the phrase from God, "Meeny, meeny, tekel, upharsin," which means you are basically, you're toast, you're done. And that night he would die. And when I read that, studied that, the thought that I was struck by was this. God does not take kindly to the misuse of his vessels. God does not take kindly to the misuse of his vessels. Later on, the Apostle Paul talks about in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but, you know, there's vessels that are wood and clay, and some are honorable, some are dishonorable. And then he says this in 2 Timothy chapter 2. He says, "Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, the dishonorable vessels, he'll be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the what? For the master, prepared for every good work." When Jesus came into your life, if indeed he did, he came in to take over. Not just to take your sins away, but to take over your life. He said one day, "Why do you call me Lord? Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do the things I say?" And so to confess Jesus and publicly profess him as Lord and Savior and things like believer's baptism was certain death, meant certain death at certain times in the history of the church, even today in Hindu and radical Muslim countries. People placing their faith in Jesus, even in Hindu and Muslim countries, there's a sense in which they'll tolerate it to a degree until they profess their faith, which always took place in believers' baptism. And when you see somebody get baptized, they're saying, Jesus is my Savior and my Lord, my Master. Is he your Savior, Lord, and Master? Let's start with Savior. That's a good place to start, isn't it? This whole mandate begins with becoming a disciple of Jesus, trusting him as your personal Lord and Savior. And again, don't be under the vain assumption that just because you prayed some kind of a prayer, you got saved. Because if anyone's in Christ, he's a what? Say it again. A new creation. The old's gone, the new's come. That's what God says, not me. And Jesus, when he comes in, doesn't just come in as one who takes your sins away. He does that. But he comes into your life. Now, it doesn't mean everybody lives a squeegee clean life, because we just heard a testimony of a young lady who trusted Jesus, saw fruit, but then the cares of this world just, and this is such a struggle, isn't it? And you may be like Emily, having trusted Jesus, but you have given in to the cares of this world. I can guarantee you this, that if you are God's child, you are not your own, and you are one miserable boy or girl. Man or woman. Why don't you just be done with it right now and say, Lord, I present myself as a vessel, unclean, but I want to be one made honorable to you. And just surrender yourself to him today. And if you don't know Jesus as Savior, that's where it begins. Acknowledge your sin, place your faith in him as Lord and Savior. Amen.